Welcome to the Blockchain and Healthcare Today Platform Approaches Journal Unscripted podcast series, where industry innovators transform healthcare. Today, guest authors are from the United Kingdom, Dr. Imtiaz Khan, Associate Professor of Data Science, Cardiff School of Technologies, Cardiff Metropolitan University, and Dr. Mohamed Marr, MedTech Entrepreneur and Director of Innovation at Balsami LTD. Our moderator is Dr. Anjum Khurshid, Associate Professor, Harvard Medical School, and Chief Data Scientist at Sentinel Operations Center, a Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute. Let's get right into it and listen in.
Hello, everyone. This is Anjum Khurshid. I'm very pleased to be here with two authors who have recently published in the Blockchain and Healthcare Today, Platform Approaches in Healthcare. I'm a faculty at the Harvard Medical School Population Medicine Department, also the Chief Data Scientist for Sentinel Operations Center at Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute, and have been conducting research in blockchain and healthcare for a while, also on the editorial board of Blockchain and Healthcare Today. And we are very fortunate to have Mohamed Maher and Imtiaz Khan from the Cardiff Metropolitan University, United Kingdom, who are co-authors on the paper From Sharing to Selling: Challenges and Opportunities of Establishing a Digital Health Data Marketplace Using Blockchain Technologies. And this is a fascinating paper that we want to talk more about. But before we do that, I'll let Mohamed and Imtiaz introduce themselves briefly. Mohamed.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mohamed Maher. I originally graduated as an electronic engineer, spent half of my career doing automatic control, and halfway I switched to MedTech. I became very interested in data-backed diagnostic and therapeutic tools. And I have a startup here in the UK that is mainly focusing on case management and how to reach to the patient where they are. And I've been working with MTS on the field of health data commercialization and monetization. And I'm very pleased to be with you today.
Thank you. MTS.
Hi, I'm a professor of data science at Cardiff Metropolitan University, UK. My research interest is in data analytics, data visualization, machine learning algorithms, generative AI, large language model, and obviously blockchain related different research on. And also, I'm the founding director for Center for Industry 4.0 and Blockchain Research, where we do a lot of projects with the different industries and government organizations. And I'm also the founding program director for Apprentice Data Science Program, which has also introduced the first of its kind blockchain and cryptocurrency modules in Wales.
Well, welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your paper. So maybe we'll just start off, because this is such an interesting paper, but just give us a short brief of what the paper is about and what methodology you used in this, and then we'll go into more details of the content.
Yeah. So the paper is a literature review paper that we wanted to explore how health data can be used. So after COVID-19, the pandemic, we started to realize how data is unused and how it was useful when it was available, and how people could make use of the data. But how can we access it when it's not publicly available, and the owner of the data, who's the patient, is not capable of controlling it? So we came up with the idea of why don't we have a marketplace where people can post their data for sharing and sell it if they want to. And the purpose of the paper was to explore what is there in that domain. So we wanted to look into the technologies that can be used to establish the marketplace, what aspects of data interoperability, what aspects of security. We also looked into legal and ethical challenges and everything related to the socioeconomics, what economic models can be applied on such a marketplace. We looked into a very large number of papers in trying to establish this. And of course, not only papers, we also, as you will see in the paper, we looked into other industry practices and other companies, how they approach data sharing and democratization of data between parties. So all in all, we looked at about 35 papers in the technical domain between ownership, access control, distributed, decentralized. What are the different models in the UK when the data is centralized, in the US when the data is scattered between providers, how the interoperability works, what other companies are doing, if other universities have approached this in and in what way. Everything related to data security, the GDPR, what limitations can we do to comply with the with the GDPR, what can blockchain do and what cannot do. And then we looked into the legal aspects. So we tried to cover all the papers that cover the regulations that we need to comply with in order to establish something like that. And then we so legal and ethical, we covered about 7 papers. And then the economic model, we looked at about 9 papers that discussed how data sharing and monetization can be tackled before, and the different models that they took. And we covered all of that in the paper.
Well, thank you for that summary. And so one of the concepts that you have introduced in the paper is that of a digital health marketplace, data marketplace. So can you tell us a little more about what is the concept, especially when you think of like using blockchain technology to establish a digital health data marketplace?
Yeah. So the marketplace idea came from, so if we take a step back, what we wanted to do is to empower data-backed innovation, everything related to digital therapeutics, digital diagnosis, anything related to case management. And in order to do that and empower this type of development, you need to have access to data. And by law, we all know, and by law, we know that we own the data, our data. But there is no type, any, there is no proposition of any dynamics or tools for us to practice this ownership. How can we share it? Yes, we know we own it and it cannot be used without our consent. But how can I give this consent? How can I share it with someone? So the marketplace is an approach where we empower patients to take charge of that data in production and in sharing them. So the marketplace itself has three phases. One is data production, so everything related to the generation of data. Whenever I take a measurement at home, whenever I use a wearable device, whenever I log in anything related to my health concerns, this is the type of generating data that we're focusing on. And the other side is the consumer, where the consumer would be a researcher, a pharmaceutical company, an innovator developing a nice digital therapeutic based on AI or something like that. And he needs a data set and he needs to get a certain size of this data and teach their AI or system with this data. And the third and final phase of the marketplace is the servitization. What if, so how would it come back to me as a patient? So if someone developed a diagnosis tool or a therapeutic tool, and how would they reach out to me so I would try it? Okay, so this is why we evolved into the marketplace concept. So people can produce data and sell it to the consumers, and at the same time, consumers can sell digital services to people back. And the marketplace handles all these transactions. We wanted to go into blockchain specifically because of what it provides for, in terms of trust and transparency. When you as a consumer, you're trying to buy a data set, you need to trust that this data set that you're buying is backed by real patients. And it's not synthetic or generated data. It's a real data that there are real patients, and this is a data that you can use and trust. At the same time, as a user, when you produce data and you're trying to sell it, you need to trust that nobody's accessing your data without your permission. You're giving all the knowledge that you need to know, you're giving the consent, and if you put it in the contract that I need to be paid to share this data, then you need to make sure that whenever your data is used, you get paid for it. Yet we decided that the medical record itself would be placed on a cloud, and this is heavily discussed throughout the paper. Mainly because of the size of the storage that we need. You can imagine how big is an MRI or how big is the an electronic medical record of a patient. So if you replicate it in a chain, it's going to be very heavy to store. And at the same time, it was for the purpose of complying with one of the terms of the GDPR that the patient can request for their data to be deleted. And so we decided that the medical data itself or the record itself would be placed on the cloud, and the transactions and the logs would be, of course, and the contracts would be blockchain based.
Excellent. So the off the chain and on the chain idea of like dividing data. And so what were the key challenges and opportunities that you identified then in establishing the digital health data marketplace using blockchain?
So for the key challenges, obviously, I mean, giving the individuals the perception, i.e. the patient, the perception of data ownership, because whether it's a kind of like a fragmented type of healthcare system like in the US or is a centralized system like in UK, the ownership, the perception of data ownership is not there, right? So we want to kind of promote that idea that whether by through monetization as well as, I mean, another thing we found out that if the data become the patients become the producer of the data and participate in the marketplace, there is a kind of like a sense of cooperation as well as competition happens, right? And if they get the value out of the data, not only monetary value, but also the AI-driven service providing value, like prediction, different type of like a prevention capability and things like that, that gives some sort of like a value co-creation approach or sense of belonging to the data, that this is my data. So we want to promote this perception towards the patient, as well as for the consumer, i.e. the AI service provider, medical service provider, social care service provider, access to the data, right time, for the right engine and the right model, right? So that the AI model that we will be building in the future and for diagnostic as well as research purposes, have the high quality data, and they can have the data, right data at the right time, and it's global. Because currently, most of the data access, I mean, even if you get access to the data, right, it's primarily bound by geographical jurisdiction or limited amount of, if you want to do a clinical trial, it is very much limited with the patients and data ethics and other areas. So it will give an access, not only the right data, but also global data. So it will very much benefiting the clinical trials, as well as like understanding of the research, different research questions and things like that. So those are the opportunities as well as challenge, we think, because I mean, obviously the regulation change country to country and within institution to institution. So that needs to be overcome through this marketplace. So that those are the challenges and opportunities we see.
So just a follow-up from that, as you think about like the opportunities and challenges, are there, is this model like applicable or implementable currently, or would there be certain changes needed in terms of regulation or legal to make this work? So just to clarify for our readers, for our listeners, that would there be other prerequisites to implementing this, or is this something that can be implementable even today?
We have implemented an instance, but that is only with the wearables device data, because we think that is much personal and it is out of the jurisdiction of just current GDPR and things like that. I mean, there is not many.
So you're saying the wearables, because they don't fall into like clinical data captured in the clinical care, and so it's
exactly. Okay. So it is, and we received this Welsh Tech Award of this year for this implementation. Mm-hmm. So we want to start with this wearables device data first to showcase that the value of the data in terms of both monetization as well as the AI-driven services back to the individuals. And then it will showcase the value with the EHR data, and hopefully with this medical authorities, especially NHS is a very big organization, as you know, mm-hmm. And it's very hard to get their access to the data. And we have published another paper with how to connect with the monetization of the data to the EHR. But interestingly, what will happen if we have both the wearables data as well as the EHR data combined? Because wearables data gives a very much longitudinal and high granular data, but limited attributes. But interesting thing with wearables data compared to EHR data, it is before the patient gets ill or something happens, during the period of sickness as well as after the sickness period. For EHR data, it is only the captures the sickness period, right? Mm-hmm. Not before, sometimes after, but only the mainly the sickness period. So for if you consider from consumer data, consumer point of view, clinical trial or AI, especially AI engine, it will give in huge prediction power to the AI models, right? Because you have the normal condition and very much longitudinal and high granular data. So that's our kind of like a trajectory that we are kind of aiming towards to showcase the opportunities as well as the challenges.
Thank you, Imtiaz. This was, this is very interesting, especially I think the link to what how it can inform better modeling in the future, which we know is something that is currently being discussed quite a bit. So related to this, kind of some of the socioeconomic impact of this marketplace, which again, I think is some sort of an innovation in healthcare delivery. How do you see this affecting, for instance, healthcare delivery systems, healthcare management, and then what will be its impact on patients or healthcare providers or researchers?
Yeah. So we I think it's out of question that we all believe in the future is going to be somehow data backed. So everything that is being developed now, healthcare or not, in terms of AI or prediction or modeling, all of these aspects are very heavy consuming of data to be generated and to be developed, and then to be effective and live with throughout the patient journey from health to sickness to health back. So the marketplace as a practice would enrich the data that we are collecting, because you are creating an incentive to people to generate. And at the same time, you are capturing, as MTS was just saying, you're capturing the data that is not happening in healthcare setups. You're capturing the data that happens at home, the glucose measurement that I take at home, the blood pressure measurement that I take at home. These are the things that the wearables, the personal devices, these are the things that otherwise wouldn't have gone down the drain. We are just with the marketplace. You are empowering the patients to contribute all the parts of care that happened at home into the other parts that happen by professionals within hospitals, are stored in EHR or other systems, but they happen in a professional setup. So first, we are enriching the type of data that is being collected. And second, we are allowing people to get engaged with what is being developed, because you're only sharing or you're selling for what you believe in. So if or what you're concerned about, if someone is interested in mental health, they can support this by sharing and or selling data to mental health researchers, for example. At the same time, the development of the digital tools would move healthcare into more personalized and predictive analytics. It's giving people the view of what can happen if you get the treatment or if you don't get the treatment. What it's going to, how can I establish a model to test theories before I apply it on the patient? It's going to be more personalized, the care itself, because you are tailoring it specifically for this particular patient, and you have the knowledge of how this patient behaves in the lived experience and in the vital signs. And of course, if you have all the data like medications and all what they get, you can precisely personalize or individualize the care experience. And at the same time, from the government or the regulator perspective, this type of access to the data or knowledge can help them better allocate the resources. If there are limited things to do, what are the priorities or what can give the best patient outcome or the best efficiency, you know, the way health economics work and how they calculate the queries and how they try to justify investment, this type of availability of data and analytics would strengthen the type of analysis that is done in decision making of these type of resource allocation directions.
Okay, thank you, Mohammed. And I would encourage listeners to read the paper, because I know that you have also discussed a lot more in detail kind of some of the parallels with the credit system and you know how that financing works and how that could also be replicated or work in the data field. And so, yeah, this has been fascinating. And thank you so much for explaining some of these. But what are like some of the next steps in your research, and are you excited about other collaborations and other projects that are ongoing? If you could give us a little sense of what is coming.
So, I mean, getting on this health economics, right? Because we have just started working with a project with the dementia, individuals with dementia, because dementia as a mental health issue, as well as like a disease and was a kind of unique perspective in terms of both as a disease, as well as in the health economics perspective. From disease point of view, I mean, it's been first reported in, I think, 1906 by Alois Alzheimer, and still there is no cure, there is no treatment, and even no intervention. And it is the only, according to WHO, it is the only top 10 killer disease that has no cure and things like that, right? So, for all mental health diseases, it's because there are not many biomarkers, right, to report in the EHR system. It's only the subjective, like they call it CBT, the counseling-based therapy documentation that is there. So here, this wearables device, as well as other approach technologies has been used, provide a good solution to that, right? So you have some longitudinal data, as well as for dementia particularly, there is a big health economics based on, because the carer who take care, usually family members, are unpaid, right? And for social care, it is very expensive, even in UK, right? There are like, in last year, UK spent £42 billion for social care for dementia only, and most of this out of the pocket from the family members, right? And the carer, which again, family members, spent 1.3 billion hours a year, which is unpaid, right? So it has huge kind of economic, socioeconomic impact, both to the patient as well as to the carer, right? So what the marketplace would do, because the revenue generated from the sale of the data can be shared with the carer, as well as it can be based, put into the economy as an NI contribution or insurance contribution and things like that. So these, we think we kind of not only engage surrounding caring system, as well as the other stakeholder, right, into the system, and also that give some sort of equitable share of the revenue of the data sale, as well as the servitization approach in it. So that's the from health economic point of view. And also, once you start to get this like this AI-driven services, so you can get from this current goods dominant logic-based healthcare system, where the service and the products are being kind of given to the patient as a kind of one-off service, right? So you get you pay for the service and that's it, right? You're not engaged with the system for a sustainable period of time. But once it becomes a circular loop, right? So you get the data to the AI service and the diagnostic and things like that, and they can get better prediction and give that service or the knowledge to the individuals or the patients and the carers and things like that. So it becomes a service dominant logic based system. So there we see a paradigm shift will happen if the sale of the data, as well as the service of from the data, get circular economy or the service dominant logic based system. So that would have a big impact, and as well as especially with the wearables, that has also give us the opportunity to build digital twin and other approaches, so that the medical service providers, as well as the doctors, nurses, they can do the diagnosis or treatment on the digital twin before they get get summarized view from the AI engines, as well as the patient. I mean, themselves can simulate different environment and see what could happen if I do this and that and things like that. So it became a kind of like a very much integrated environment through which both the patient sharing of knowledge is not, it's now it's very much asymmetric and more parenteralistic model of our healthcare system. It will become more horizontal and as engaging. So once the individuals, the patients, as well as the carer get engaged with the knowledge co-creation system, that will, I think, we would revolutionize the healthcare system, and not only from cost perspective, but also the advancement of knowledge and other areas.
Thank you, Imtiaz. That seems very interesting. And we will look forward to, you know, future papers describing some of this work that that you have talked about. So thank you so much for both Mohammed and Imtiaz for spending your time with us and explaining the paper we were discussing, From Sharing to Selling, Challenges and Opportunities of Establishing a Digital Health Data Marketplace Using Blockchain Technologies, published in the Blockchain in Healthcare Today, Platform Approaches and Healthcare Journal, which publishes internationally recognized research in the areas of blockchain and health. And so this was a great example of really thinking of something which is not just about one health system, but around the world. I think you're looking at different types of models of healthcare delivery, and the idea that you have developed. And I would encourage listeners to read the paper, because you also have described kind of the workflow and how it is established. So there's a lot more in the paper, but we are very glad that we were able to get your perspective on some of the vision and philosophy, and then the impact of a digital health data marketplace. So thank you so much, and congratulations again on conducting such valuable research.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate your tuning into BHTY's podcast series. Want to learn more or have a comment about the program? Do you have a novel topic or solution to share with our audience? If so, send an email to info@partnersindigitalhealth.com or visit the open access peer-reviewed Blockchain in Healthcare Today Platform Approaches Journal. Thanks for listening.